Welcome to the Coffee and Code podcast, where we bridge the gap between technology and people through each informative episode. I'm your host, Ashley Coffee, technologist, two-time TEDx speaker, and CEO of Coffee and Consult. On this show, you'll hear exclusive interviews with experts, innovators, creatives, and business owners in the tech space and beyond. Whether you're a novice or a tech enthusiast, my goal is to excite, inform, and empower you to understand how the rapidly evolving world of technology impacts your daily life. Let's dive into today's episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Coffee and Code. I'm your host, Ashley Coffee, and I'm so excited to be joined by a friend today, Misty Durham. Misty is incredible. She's a woman in tech. She wears many hats, and I'm excited for us to dive into a very authentic conversation around technology, mental health, and just what's going on in the world right now. But without further ado, welcome to the show, Misty.
Thank you so much, Ashley. I'm so excited to be here. I am a listener and friend, and just it's so much fun to see you do these podcasts. So I'm excited to be a guest.
Thank you. And I want to give a quick shout out because everyone knows that's listening. Building content is hard and doing things like this can be difficult, but I so appreciate your support. For those listening, Misty doesn't just talk the talk, she walks the walk. You came to my TED Talk, you came to the High Five Talk. So I just appreciate that you support women in the community by taking action. And those little things, they mean a lot. It helps people like me know that like, oh, hey, my efforts are being noticed and recognized and they can be impacting someone. So I want to just give you some flowers right off the top and say thank you for being your authentic self.
Well, I appreciate that. And it is my honor and pleasure to come and support you. You know, like you said, as a fellow woman in tech, we have to stick together. Mm-hmm. And I loved the TED Talk. It was at my alma mater, so that just made it even more fun. And just love what you do, girl.
Oh, thank you. And it's wild because we've been connected through your brother, Lance, which Lance and I used to work together at Apple way back when. And you know, Apple fam is for life. So it's great to be able to connect. But I want to talk about you, Misty. Misty, you've had an incredible background. And I know we've like sat down and have like hours long conversations, and I feel like we could do that every day if we wanted to. But I was really fascinated by one, just your passion, your drive, your determination, and the fact that you're really carving a place out for yourself in Oklahoma, which can be hard to do. And you have an incredible background at a Fortune 500 company for about 15, 16 years and building these incredible processes and infrastructure. So we'd love to just like kick it off with you. Tell us a little bit about Misty and Misty's journey into technology.
Yeah, so I got a marketing degree and, you know, didn't quite know what I was going to do with that. And I had a Fortune 50 company come and recruit me right out of college.
That's awesome.
And just kind of started this journey. Unfortunately, when they recruited me, it was for a sales role because that's what I'd been doing. I was working in the mall, but they were like, you know, we're so big that you can get into marketing. And that was absolutely right. It took a little bit of time because, as you said, being in Oklahoma, that meant I had to network with a lot of people before I found the right people to kind of move into the marketing space. But for the last decade of my career, I've been in the marketing space and, you know, started doing product marketing and lots of product launches and events and things like that. And what kind of shifted was that we did a really big merger. And my boss came to me because we had, you know, our legacy website and the company that we acquired had a website and we were merging the two. And not only that, we were going to a whole new platform.
Wow.
And so it was this big, like, year and a half long effort. During that effort, I ended up in Children's Hospital with my son, and he needed a lot of medical attention. It started off this whole journey that culminated in 18 surgical procedures over the course of 5 years. And I was in charge of this big migration. And, you know, we had a deadline of these other platforms are turning off at a certain time. And so we're up against a time frame. I've got this big team that I'm managing as a program manager. And it really just kind of changed the way that I was trying to approach work. I had a lot of information that was in my head and a lot of information that was in my computer. And that was fine when I could be present at work Monday through Friday, you know, the hours that my team was working, because we were a global team. But suddenly with my kiddo in the hospital, I was working these kind of sporadic hours in between doctor's appointments and in between surgeons coming into the room. And I had to figure out a way to do that differently. And so I completely transformed and simplified the way that I worked, automating a lot of things through Microsoft Teams and SharePoint and different tools that we already had at my company. I just had not been using them in the way that I was now going to use them. And people took notice because they were like, wait a second. She's not working as much as she used to, but somehow she's doing about twice as much as she used to do. And that just completely altered my career. I went into the operations space of the marketing org and have been doing that the last, you know, 8 years. I was already doing a little bit of operations, but really started doing those digital transformation components of operations for marketing. And it's just been the most fun. Because what I realized is that technology is its best when it is helping the company. Yeah, sure. That's nice that it helps the company. It's more beneficial for them. But it's a personal journey of it helped me so much. You know, and that's what really matters. If you look at really great marketing and really great advertising, it's that emotional component that matters. It's that personal component that matters. Mm-hmm. And tech and humanity, they can be very closely aligned. Think of all of the, you know, all of the things that we have benefited from as technological advances. My son needed a feeding tube. There was a time where if he had needed a feeding tube, he would have just died. You know, these are the kinds of things where it's not about the feeding tube. It's about the fact that I get to keep my son in this world because of this technological advance. It was the same thing for me with reshaping how I worked.
You know, there's so much technology out there that people aren't using. And you just mentioned a few tools like Teams and the stuff that's technically built into Microsoft Office 365 system. Like, you've really built out a system that works. So I would love for you to pull the threads on that a little bit.
Yeah, I really focused on a few key areas where I could make a really big impact with very little lift. And those areas were communication, collaboration, and content optimization. What that looked like was email was something in my world when my son was hospitalized all those years, you know, back and forth. Watching my email box number just tick up for all the unread emails that I had because I was with the company 15 years. So I'm on all of these different distros, regardless of how many times you asked to be taken off of them. Yep. I'm on all these distros. I'm getting lots and lots of emails. And somewhere in the 150 emails that I get a day is something actionable and important that I need to actually do. That was so overwhelming to me. It had been a frustration before, but it became the thing that could send me into just a meltdown in his hospital room, thinking like, I only have this certain window of time before a surgeon comes in, before a doctor comes to talk to me. And I don't want to waste it reading through everything. I got rid of email. The last 18 months of my career, I did not send a single email because I utilized Teams for collaboration. So anytime I was talking to somebody, I was sending them a Teams chat. They also have, you know, the Teams feeds for a group of people. So if I'm talking to my entire core team, I'm doing that in the channel. If I'm talking to one person or a couple people, I'm doing that in a chat. And what I realized is, in my personal life, I don't get my news and information and I don't talk to people through personal email. You and I text. We're not like, you're not sending me, hey, Misty, how's it going? Just wanted to chat with you for a second in my personal email. But that's kind of what it was at work. It doesn't need to be, because the tools will make it so that it doesn't have to be. And then I thought about, you know, how do I get information distributed and consumed when it's not just my collaborators, when it's my entire org, when it's, you know, the entire company? Well, SharePoint has news feeds. Just like I have a news feed that pops up a notification on my phone, I had that same experience at work with SharePoint. There's also another tool called Viva Engage that is a Microsoft, and it's basically social media internally.
Yep.
And so we started using that for onboarding. So every time, you know, I'm a program manager. I do lots of different projects all at once, and I have people just kind of coming into the project, moving out of the project as, you know, as we determine, okay, we're now in phase one, phase two, phase three, you might not be there for the whole time. We might have interns that come. My entire onboarding process moved to SharePoint. Here are all the videos you need. I recorded them, nice. Put them on SharePoint so that they're available. And then come meet all of us on Viva Engage. We posted our intros and there was like, we had a hashtag for my team and we had this whole hashtag campaign. If you're new, this is what you do. It was part of the onboarding that you're going to go post to Viva Engage and introduce yourself and meet some of us. It was really fun. So just thinking about how we do it in our daily lives and what tools I can use to reflect that communication, collaboration, and content optimization in the workspace. Because the tools are there.
Yep.
We just, a lot of times, you know, it's fair. Things change all the time at work. And when a new tool gets rolled out, people typically only see here is the tool and here's what the tool can do. They don't see the, hey, if you do this, you won't send another email for the next 18 months.
Wow.
You won't have email. I went on a 2-week vacation a couple years ago. My oldest plays baseball. We went on this, you know, World Series tournament, and I came back and I had 1,200 emails in my box.
That's a lot.
I had just taken over a bunch of new projects, and so people didn't know.
Oh.
But in a year, I went on that same 2-week vacation. It had taken me a week to catch up before. It took me a day to catch up.
Wow.
The next year, because I taught everyone around me, this is how we're going to communicate. This is how we're going to collaborate. This is how we're going to optimize our content. So you don't ever have to know where the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
You can search for it in a search bar just like you would at home for anything else. You can ask your computer to deliver you exactly what you're looking for, whether you've seen it or not. That was actually one of the things that I think my boss saw in me at the very beginning when I started this, is he would, you know, have a meeting that he was about to walk into and he couldn't find the deck that he needed. He couldn't find the information. And he'd ping me, Misty, can you find this thing? I'd never seen it before. I didn't know what it was. I just needed a couple of keywords and I could find it for him and get it over to him. And he was like, you're really good at this.
Oh, that's a good example. And it's interesting how some people don't realize that these tools that are already built into their systems can do all of these different automated systems like onboarding, saving tons of time and money. But I want to pivot a little bit and talk about your career pivot. So you worked at a really big company for about 15, 16 years. You developed this incredible internal system. And what happened next? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So look, it's 2024. We all know what's been happening the last few years. Tech has shifted and there have been a lot of layoffs in the tech space. And unfortunately, after 15 years of an amazing career, I was laid off this past February. And so, you know, we're recording this in August, so it's been about 6 months. I have submitted hundreds of applications and, you know, done lots of interviews, but that right thing just hasn't, you know, met me yet, and I haven't met it yet. So it's not an uncommon experience right now that a lot of people in the tech space are looking for work. And that mm-hmm. means that a lot of people are applying for the same positions. So that's kind of what I've been doing for the last 6 months and on the job front. But I also have had a chance to really look at what it is that I want to be doing. And what I've learned is what I was doing before, I love. I'm so passionate about it. It's not something that I want to kind of pivot out of. And so even in just my personal life, I was at the pool the other day with a bunch of friends, and they were talking. It's a Sunday afternoon, and they're like, oh, there's so much I've got to do before tomorrow morning. And they're telling me all the things. I'm like, you know, AI will do that for you.
Right.
It'll
think smarter, not harder.
It'll do that. And you'll be ready for tomorrow in like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And teaching people, hey, you don't have to be stressed about Sunday night prepping for Monday morning, or, you know, Monday morning coming into work and you've got all these things to do, or you're out of the office and you need to summarize all the meetings that you missed. There are so many tools that can help you do that. And so even though I don't have a job that is paying me right now, I am still doing some of that. I propped up a website, missteams365.com. And I'm using it not only as my portfolio, but also to share tips and tricks, and have all the social media platforms doing that too. So that's kind of what I've been investing in and working on certifications, my project management professional certifications. So
awesome.
You know, I am not lacking for things to do.
Right. Yeah.
Just
you're staying
things
busy.
That pay-
for sure. And it's, I'm glad that you, one, thank you for sharing this, because I think people who are listening may also have experienced a layoff in the past 1, 2, 3, 4 years since the pandemic. And it's really interesting to kind of think through how some processes are still kind of archaic. Like you mentioned, you can have any kind of tool automate your meeting notes and send it to everyone. So therefore, that's just adding so much efficiency, but only if you know how to use it. Think smarter, not harder, I like to say. And I love that you have really culminated all of your experiences and distilled them into a way that, you know, works for you and works for the people that you work with, but also a call to action for people who are listening. Misty is on the job market. She's amazing. And I honestly have been really surprised about how competitive it's been lately in the tech industry. And I know you well enough to know that, like, if I could hire you, I would. And it's wild to me that no one out there is like, you know, snatched you up yet. So maybe someone that's listening is like, I need you in my life. Support women in tech. I mean, the best thing to do is hire women in tech. That's putting your money where your mouth is. But would love for you to kind of dig into a little bit more we talked about before we hopped on here. You know, mental health is really important. It's something that we're both passionate about. It's something that maybe doesn't get talked about often enough. There's still a lot of stigma around talking about mental health and being open about dealing with anxiety or depression or any of the symptoms there. But let's talk about mental health and the intersectionality of where you're finding yourself right now, of realizing what's important, realizing like what's priority and where you're putting your mental energy.
Yeah, it is so important to talk about the mental health aspect. And I want to start with kind of backtracking to what you said, that you're surprised, given my experience, my enthusiasm, all the things that I bring to the table, that I haven't been able to find a role. And I want to talk about that just real briefly, because it's important to understand the why behind that and what that does on the mental health front as well. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I had a lot of friends that reached out to me, and, you know, unfortunately, they had been laid off earlier than I had. And when they reached out, they said, Misty, we want to lay it out for you really clearly. You are incredible. It is going to take you 6 to 9 months to land the next thing. Part of the reason why is because I have had 15 years in the business, so I am a more senior person. So I'm not looking for those entry-level roles. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for, you know, a senior role, a director role, those kinds of things. And there's just fewer of those. That's always been true. But the thing that has really kind of shifted is that now, because of the job market the way that it is, and also just because of the automation that we have available to us, recruiters, they will post a job and they will have 500 applications in one day. And that stat came from a recruiter here in Oklahoma.
Really?
At a networking event that told me that. 500. Whoa. They have 10 openings, and each one of those openings is getting 500 applications a day. I have several friends that are at Amazon, and they are doing good if they only get 10,000 applications in a day.
I'm sure.
Or in the cycle, rather, 10,000 applications in the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, you know, the recruiters are having a hard time going through all of those. And so they're using AI to kind of filter some things out. But also, even with the AI, they are, just overwhelmed with things. And so really, the piece that has been so helpful to me is that my friends came and set that expectation early. And having those expectations that 6 to 9 months was probably my window has really helped my mental health as I have gone along this journey. The other thing to know, and if you're earlier in your career, this might be kind of an aha moment for you. It is a presidential election year.
Mm-hmm.
And during a presidential election year, it is very common for companies to pause some of, you know, their hiring and also where they are spending money, how they are spending money, because they're waiting to see whose policies we're going to have for the next 4 years.
Yep.
And so I knew, like, they, you know, my friends who said 6 to 9 months, they weren't looking in a presidential election year.
Mm.
So when they told me that, I immediately thought this is like a 6 month to a year journey.
Okay.
I do think it's going to pick up after the election. And I am even seeing it start to pick up now. Recruiters are starting to do that.
Good.
But the piece that my friends told me was going to be really important was, you know, keeping a routine, making sure that I had some sort of creative outlet. And honestly, that has become my website. My website is so very authentically me.
Yeah.
You know, my friends who have known me for a very long time, even my mom, went onto that website and she was like, this is just so you.
Oh,
and
so I love that.
Like, really, you know, I thought if I'm going to create a website, this is my website. These are my rules. I'm doing what I want to do. I've built lots and lots of websites in my 15 years. And, you know, they were always for a company. There was always a brand that was not mine. This is my brand.
I love that. Your
this
rules.
This is Misty.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
so
a good
I've had that creative outlet. Yeah. And then the other thing that was just really fortunate, you know, my former company, we had a fitness reimbursement that was available to us every year. And before my last day, I used that to buy a bunch of yoga and Pilates classes.
Nice.
And so I've been doing some of that. I also got to spend the summer, you know, spending more time with my kids than I would have if I had had a job.
Mm.
But I don't want to, you know, sound disingenuous. This has been a very difficult journey. It has been challenging for me. It has been challenging for my family. I see the strain. And, you know, you kind of understand, you know, when you lose a job, the financial stress is there. The financial strain of I had an income and now I don't have an income. What surprised me was the grief of I spent so much time with these people. The team that I was most closely working with in my last role, my engineer, my DevOps engineer and I, we had been working together for a decade.
Wow.
We spent a decade talking to each other, pinging each other, sending each other memes, doing all of these things like every single day and creating together and losing those touch points. And, you know, I'd worked with a lot of people for a really long time. And so I'm still friends with them. We're still texting. It's not like they're out of my life. But that daily interaction, that daily, you know, we're building something, that has been really challenging for me. And it has impacted, you know, the way that I relate to my kids, my husband. There have been a lot of tears over this past 6 months. And some days it is hard to be hopeful when you see the bank account dwindling. And I have friends who, you know, I'm later in my career, so lucky I was able to get a severance. But I know friends that they were early in their career. They're single moms or single dads, and they ended up having to get on food stamps, and they're wondering if they can keep their house.
Mm-hmm.
And these are really, really tough things. And a friend of mine, she was like, you know, it is one of the biggest stressors that you can ever face in life, to lose a job, to lose your income. So the fact that you're feeling these things, it's completely valid. Mm-hmm. And hearing her tell me, and she's told me multiple times over the months, like as I've, you know, I know it, but sometimes I forget it. She's like, Misty, yes, you are just stressed. That is to be expected. And it is going to take a toll. But it's doing those things, like spending the time with my kids, making sure to get outside and do some gardening and go to the Pilates and take the time every single day that, yes, I'm applying for jobs. Yes, I'm networking and trying to build those connections. But how am I pouring into myself,
mm-hmm.
doing that PMP certification? You have to balance that stuff. It can't all just be, you know, applying for jobs, because mm-hmm. I'll tell you, you will get ghosted.
Oh,
you will get ghosted, yeah. So much. Where legitimately you don't even hear from a company that they got your application, which is why it's even more important to do the networking piece. But, mm-hmm. you know, every day I wake up and I've got rejection in my email, and it's likely that they never even looked at my resume.
Mm-hmm.
The best shot I have is the networking. And that's part of why it takes the 6 months, is that mm-hmm. to network with people that you haven't met before and to build the relationships, that takes time.
Yeah.
But I will also tell you, the most genuine and kind-hearted people that I am newly acquainted with have been people who have been laid off in the past.
Because they get it. Yep.
I get it. And there are so many in the tech space, but there are, like, I can think of 5 people right now that 6 months ago, I did not know them. They reach out to me on a biweekly or weekly basis. And they're like, hey, I just wanted you to know I'm thinking of you.
No.
You're doing great. I saw you post that thing. And Ashley, you are one of those people.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I know, because I've been there. Like, I've been through multiple layoffs before, and it sucks. Like, it makes you reevaluate your entire, at least for me, my identity, because I was tying my identity to my titles and my roles. And once you don't have that, you're like, what am I? And it takes a lot of time to, one, get over that. But two, like you mentioned, grief. You go from one day you're talking to the same people over and over, and the next day you don't exist to them anymore, because you're out, you're a number. And that does a lot on the mental psyche, to go from having a professional working relationship with another human to zero contact at all. And it's like, it raises a lot of just, especially if you have, you know, pre-diagnosed anxiety and all the things. But you're right, though. Like, I love having authentic conversations with people like you, because you get it. And I know when people get it and when people don't get it. And the goal, really of this conversation is to help those out there that are feeling it right now and know that they're not alone. And that there are other people on this journey together, and that there are really great resources out there to help you. And it's you shouldn't be ashamed to have to ask for help. That's what those resources that are out there for. That's what things like food stamps are out there for. You know, these are legitimate needs and legitimate problems that we're having. Inflation is still real. Some people have to choose between groceries or paying rent. That's a real problem.
Yeah.
And whenever you're in that scarcity mindset, it really can take a toll on someone. So I want to definitely flag that these are very real things that happen. And if you haven't had it happen to you yet, that's great, but it will happen to you at least once in your life. So get ready, and it really makes you reprioritize and really get down to the core of, how do I want to be spending my time? Because life is short. How am I pouring into my family and those relationships that you could never get back? Like, the being able to spend time with your children and spend time with your family is so, so important. If I could go back and spend more time with my dad, yes, I would, but I don't get the opportunity.
Exactly.
So I realized that, like, you know, you got to make it count. So thank you for one, being open about that, but also want to let everyone know that there are resources out there. There's a community out there.
Yes.
If you're in between jobs, like, you know, make sure you're getting that social interaction. I think that's really important, by going to those networking events, going to like free happy hours, networking, whatever it is, coffee with poem. I don't know.
Yeah.
Getting out there is good. I like to go to coffee shops or like Pilates classes. It's just good to be around other people sometimes, because the human experience is wild. And when you're not in an office setting, you're not really getting those drive-by conversations that you would typically have during a work day that kind of like fill your cup or cause you to think or make time pass. It can be a lonely game sometimes, but I'm glad that your friends set a proper expectation up front about what to expect in that journey. And I want to remind people who are listening here that Oklahoma actually passed legislation last year that shortens the amount of time for unemployment benefits. So it actually used to be 26 weeks, and now it's 16 weeks. So I want to flag that for those listening, because in the United States, each state has its own different regulations of who gets – we pay for unemployment insurance in the United States. So that means if you get laid off, you can get a certain amount of income up to a certain percentage of what you made. It's never going to be the same as what you made. It's a certain percentage, but they have a whole calculation. It's kind of a wild bit, but it's definitely not the same for everyone.
Well, and another thing to note, with Oklahoma specifically and unemployment, this was a shock to me. I did not know, but in 2020, there was a breach in our state's data, and someone had used my social to get unemployment benefits for a couple weeks before my company at the time flagged it and said, hey, no, she's not unemployed. And so when I went to file for unemployment, which this is the other thing, file for unemployment the moment that you get notice that you're being laid off. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even like, I had filed before my last day at my job, because they gave me a week to close out everything.
Oh, good.
File immediately, because when I did file, what I found out was that fraud had hit my account and it was locked. And so it should have taken about 3 to 4 weeks before I got my unemployment payments starting to come in. And that was, I did have a severance. So if you get a severance, you can still qualify for unemployment. Some people think that you can't, but you can, at least in Oklahoma. It took me 3.5 months of calling them, going up there. And I get it, they're super busy. But the fraud department had to do all of these things to clear that I could get these benefits.
That's right.
Now.
Yeah.
So it took a very long time for me to start getting those benefits. Now, once I did, they back paid it.
For sure.
But you're absolutely right. We only get 16 weeks now instead of the 26.
And you have to keep track of it yourself too.
You do. And you have to show that you're applying for jobs, which of course I was. And you know, that there are other things. The other thing I wanted to mention, if you are in tech in Oklahoma and you are not part of Techlahoma, it is an amazing community. I wasn't involved. I knew of them, but I wasn't involved with them as much previously. And now I'm just kicking myself, because they are such a great community of people.
Agreed.
And they have scholarships. So that project management certification, I'm doing another project management certification through Google, through Coursera. And that is with a scholarship from Techlahoma.
No way. That's awesome. See, and that's impacting where it matters, honestly. Yeah. The fact that you are utilizing this to upskill, reskill to all the nonprofits and other companies out there. This is how you make a difference.
But that's one of those things where, you know, right now with the competitiveness of the job market, sometimes what it comes down to, you may have your degree, your master's, your life experience, your work experience, and the thing that sets you apart is these certifications. And some of these certifications are $9,000 for, like, I looked into a change management certification because I've been doing change management.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, I can't really spend that kind of money on a certification when I don't have an income right now. So that's not where I can put my resources. And as I started looking, I'm like, Techlahoma has scholarships.
I love that.
There are other resources. And so regardless of whether it's Techlahoma or whatever your community locally is, I would absolutely encourage you to plug into that community, whether you've been a part of them before or not. Mm-hmm. You will find your people in those spaces. They will be the people. A lot of those are the ones that have rallied around me and check in with me, you know, that biweekly. And they send me job leads. They send me information. They click and subscribe and like all of my stuff, which, you know, we all know about the algorithms.
Right. Yeah. It takes a village.
We need those likes and subscribes
yeah.
to, you know, get in front of people that we're not already connected with. And mm-hmm. so those local communities and networking, even if you are somebody like me who, like you said, you know, that anxious person who doesn't love going to networking events, I have been welcomed in, and also they have invited me to speak.
Yes.
And those things that I'm doing, they go on YouTube. This podcast, it's going to go out there. More people will see, and that's how you can kind of think outside the box, because just applying to stuff over and over, that is a fruitless effort in mm-hmm. this job market. It is not necessarily a numbers game in the resume and applications. Mm-hmm. It is a numbers game in how many people you are talking to and connecting with in a real way that they can potentially help you.
1,000%. Yes. And I'm one, congratulations about that scholarship. I didn't know about it. And I'm going to link the Techlahoma website in the show notes, as well as your website. That way, if people are listening and want to learn more, they can. I love that there are scholarships out there, and there's great certifications you can get. Google has a whole slew of certifications. HubSpot has a free certification. So yeah, even if you can't, you know, pony up these thousands of dollars, there are free ones that you can get that can give you a leg up. But like, that's another good point that I think some people might miss, is that these certifications cost a lot of money. PMP is a lot of money mm-hmm. and a lot of time, and you have to maintain that. So, and like change management, there's always a fee for something. The more you get into it, the more that you learn that, one, being a part of organizations is expensive, and two, doing all these certifications is expensive, which is why I appreciate when companies are willing to either like help their employees with certifications or cover it at cost. But, you know, as a small business owner, it's like, you know, every dollar matters. And especially when you're, you know, on a limited income and you're not having anything in, you have to really be conscious about where that's going. Is it going to lead to a revenue generator? But I'm glad that you mentioned the certifications, because I tell people that all the time, especially college students that come to me for advice, or just people that are like, how do I stand out? I know it sounds ridiculous to just say certifications, but it's true. It's true. I mean, and if yeah. I'm sitting on the other side from someone and I can see that they've taken the initiative to try to make themselves stand out, to me, that means a lot versus someone that just is trying to use their MBA master's degree in 4.0 to get the job. It's very different. But it's interesting that yeah. you talked about how, you know, the networking is really the big aspect. I remember like whenever I worked at Apple, the reason I got the job is because I showed up every day. I didn't know anyone at Apple, but I was like, I'm going to get this job. I want this job. So I printed out my resume. I showed up at the store like every day for like a week and asked to speak to the hiring manager. And of course, like he was either not there or like on a break. So I ended up waiting for quite a while. And eventually he came out and was like, hey, I'm John. I hear you've been trying to find me. But like doing that, like that persistence really pays off, but it's so different now because you can't just like walk into a place with your resume and be like, here you go anymore. Or even just try to have a conversation. It's so different. People are like, oh, go follow the form or go add your application to the mix. But with, AI applicant tracking systems being deployed, mm-hmm. especially out of the box, companies that maybe don't know how to tweak them or provide a human in the loop process. Depends on what language model you're using, you're going to get biased outcomes. So all that to say is, you know, AI can be great, but it's also important to keep that human in the loop process, especially when it comes to hiring and firing and making these really important decisions that affect people's livelihood.
Well, so let's talk about the AI a little bit and how it almost feels like cheating, using it to network.
Yes. So
one of the things that is really helpful right now is when I go to these networking events, I find the recruiters. And Techlahoma is so awesome about their networking events. They color code the name tags.
Love that.
And so you know who is looking for work, who is hiring, who's just there to network, who's just there for fun sort of situation. Mm-hmm. And so I look for the people who are hiring. Most of those are recruiters. And building those relationships with them is one of the things that I can do, yes, in person. But what I have also done is using LinkedIn to find recruiters, because, you know, if you're going towards a certain company or a certain type of company, you can search differently on LinkedIn to find the recruiters, mm-hmm. find someone you know who is connected to that recruiter who can give you an introduction. Mm-hmm. I've had lots of people, you know, from my former job, my friends, my family, who they're like, yeah, I know that person. I'd be happy to introduce you. And then I go to ChatGPT and I have it right. Like, I'm interested in this job because I have a very specific job I'm looking for. It has about 30 titles.
Wow.
So I don't want to have to rewrite my resume all on my own to match exactly.
I see.
So I'm using ChatGPT. I throw my resume in it. I do the title that their website says, you know, they hire for, or they have roles for. Mm-hmm. And I introduce myself. ChatGPT does the intro for me. I've been doing it so long now that ChatGPT knows me.
I love that.
And so I don't even have to enter in all of the basic information about myself or my skill set. It knows. Mm-hmm. And I say, introduce me. I want to have a content calendar. Build it for me. I want to talk to people about this. I want to populate my website. And it's not going to do it start to finish, but it gives me a place to feel more confident, because reaching out to recruiters, kind of cold calling them, or even with the introduction from my friends, like, that's not my comfort zone, mm-hmm. of saying like, yeah, so-and-so introduced us. I'm so glad. Do you have a job for me?
Right.
That's not fun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've even done like throw in some jokes,
make it light. Yeah.
I've done it from like all my favorite TV characters. I have done it in their tone, and then I kind of, you know, redo stuff. It will tell you how to negotiate start date and wages, mm-hmm. and all of these things. There are a lot of tools in the AI space that can help. There's one in particular. It's a plugin called Jobalytics. Mm. And it's just on my computer. It will scan the job opening, mm-hmm. scan my resume, and I just put, at this point, I've got like probably 70 different resumes because I customize each one. And again, I do that through ChatGPT, so it doesn't take me a ton of time. Mm-hmm. And my resume is completely true, but it's what are the things that are going to resonate most?
Yeah.
Jobalytics. It will look for all the keywords.
Wow.
And it will tell me you're missing these keywords. And so I don't submit an application unless I'm at least like 55 to 75% aligned. And that's because it will go through their ATS.
Ah, that's great.
And it's matching. And it's saying like, you don't have these keywords, but we know you have those things. So just pull them into your resume. I throw that list into ChatGPT and I'm like, rewrite my resume with those keywords.
I love that. That is amazing. It's called Jobalytics. It's a plugin.
Jobalytics.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have created a web page, mm-hmm. within my website for job seekers, because as more and more of my friends, unfortunately, have been laid off, they've been asking me, just like I asked my friends who were laid off before me, what are some of the tips and tricks and things? I have a webpage for job seekers that has a lot of this information where I'm saying like, take care of your mental health.
Yeah. No,
get all the benefits you can.
Thank you for doing that.
Because I want to just send everyone who needs it a link, and I'll give you that so that you can link to directly to that page.
Yes.
The Jobalytics is one of the ones I call out, and then there are several. Honestly, TikTok is a great resource to know how to negotiate different things and use AI. Mm-hmm. But my website, you know, a lot of the content I have thrown into that, because don't know if you can tell from this podcast, but I am not the best at being succinct. And so
that's one of the things I
work on a lot is, you know, let's take what would be a 10-minute conversation and make it a 5-minute conversation. Let's take this down from 4 bullets to 2 bullets. And And like, there's a lot of fear and, you know, warranted fear and warranted caution around AI. Mm-hmm. But again, just like I did with all of the tools that I had at my fingertips when my son was needing me to be more present and I needed to be less present at work, mm-hmm. make it work for you. It is there. Gamma, if you haven't used Gamma, let me tell you what. I had to do a presentation, or not had to, I was honored to do a presentation at one of the Techlahoma events. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to, again, have a brand that represented me. And so I signed up for Gamma, put my information, you know, that I, these are the things I want to talk about, build me slideware. From signing up for it, which is free.
Okay.
Signing up, putting like my bullet points of here are the things I'm talking about, giving it, you know, choosing a template from its list of templates that it had, and getting 10 free slides was under 5 minutes.
Wow, that's great.
I had never used it before. And again, I was in marketing at a Fortune 50 for a decade.
Yeah.
I know what good slideware looks like. This is good slideware.
Gamma?
Gamma, G-A-M-M-A. And it's not something like, it's not going to get you start to finish. It wasn't perfect. I changed out the pictures and put my logo and did things. Mm-hmm. But it created 10 slides that were completely usable. I just, like, that's the starting point.
Totally.
It got me started, and it had, you know, and it's got them so that they're interesting slides to move through visually. I didn't have to work on, you know, that spacing and where am I going to put an image? Where does it fit best? What text should I use to make it? No, all of that was done.
That's so nice. Is it similar to beautiful.ai? That's something that I've used before that's similar.
I don't know. I haven't used that one, but...
Yeah, same concept.
If it creates slides, then yes.
That's so cool. Yeah, think smarter, not harder, especially college students that are going back to school. Yeah.
And especially people who are looking for jobs.
Yes.
Like, you know, it is a full-time job looking for a job.
Yeah.
It is a full-time job that you are not getting paid for. So, you know.
Time runs differently.
Your expectations set that you are going to use all of the tools in the toolbox to make it easier for you, because it's not going to be easy. So
no,
do all the things.
Yeah. And for people that are listening that have a job, great. But also, like, remember and keep in mind how to support people who may be looking for jobs, whether that's giving them an endorsement on LinkedIn. I love going, and when I look at someone's profile, I'll leave them an endorsement if it's deserved, right? And also like leaving recommendations on LinkedIn, I think are really valuable, or liking, posting, resharing that content. It's important to always remember that how like posting and all that stuff takes a lot of time. So taking time to like it, share it with your audience can mean a lot, and it helps other people be able to find that content and maybe find value out of it. I love that you have that website on your page dedicated to, you know, if you're laid off, here's where to start, because I don't think that exists. At least I didn't know where to start to look for that whenever I got laid off for the first time during the pandemic. But it was like, you feel like life is going to end and you're like, oh my God, I need to prepare. It's almost like you're preparing for death. But life still goes on. I promise you it does. Things just change a little bit, but having kind of a guide of, yes, file your unemployment, those little things right there, some people wait until they're finally done to file that. And I'm like, no, there's already a waiting period that you have to wait for, so you might as well start now. And every state's going to be different. But, you know, rallying around your community and making your needs heard too, because something that I've noticed is like people don't know what you want until you tell them. So just basically saying like, hey, I need an introduction to a recruiter in New York. I don't know, something really specific. Yeah. And then someone might be like, hey, I have a recommendation. I'd love to have you. But I appreciate that the community is really coming together to support and uplift you, especially in this time. And I know the right role will be there for you when the time is right. But I also want to take a moment to mention this cute sticker that you gave me that has your branding on it. So thank you for it.
Well, and that came from AI. So
I love it.
Let me just kind of do a plug right there. When I was with my Fortune 50 company, you know, my role as a program manager was really thinking about the strategy and the communications and making sure that the roadmap and the tasks were, you know, getting done. I had a team of graphic designers.
Wow.
I no longer have a team of graphic designers, yeah. And I am not gifted in that way. But I am very interested in the arts and like art a lot. And so that was created on Copilot Designer. So that is a Microsoft AI tool. Mm-hmm. And I basically told it, these are my two favorite art styles. Mm-hmm. I want you to combine my two favorite art styles. These are my favorite colors. I want you to combine my favorite colors. Create a logo for me. So whatever your skill set is, if you don't have something, if you have a gap, figure out the AI that can help you fill that gap. If you're an IT person and marketing is not your strong suit, tell ChatGPT and tell Copilot to be your marketing. Tell it to be, you know, your resume expert. It will do all of those things. And so actually all of the imagery on my website is built on Copilot Designer. And I love it. Like I said, my mom saw it and said it was very authentically me. That's because I have figured out the right prompts. And I yeah. will say, here's another little tip about AI. I was talking to a friend about this. You're not going to get the perfect thing the right time unless you just like hit lightning in a bottle sort of situation. The first logos that I got from Copilot Designer, they weren't quite right. Mm-hmm. It's because my prompt isn't specific enough for the tool. It's not saying the right words. Play the AI off of each other. I took the prompt that I had. I threw it into ChatGPT. I threw it into Gemini, which is Google's AI. And I said, this is the prompt that I am providing to create an image. These are the things about the image I was provided that aren't quite right. Mm. Fix my prompt. And I got the right prompt.
Love that.
My images, I had never created images. And that's the other thing. Don't be afraid to start. Mm-hmm. I had never created a single AI image before April of this past year. I went in and within 2 hours, I had 50 images for my website.
Wow.
That I love.
That's great. And you don't have to go back and forth between your designers to update or modify. It's all at your fingertips, which is huge. Yeah. I mean, and I'm glad that you noticed that and you see it. It blows my mind that some people haven't seen that yet. Or they kind of know and they just dabble, but you're right, the specificity is where you get your magic. I haven't thought about using different tools to like improve prompts, but I love that. And it's interesting, I was talking to someone recently, I was doing a workshop and I learned that they were using ChatGPT as a like search engine. So they were just literally searching for one word and they were like, oh, I'm not going to use it anymore because it doesn't work. And I'm like, let's talk about that. And they're like, oh, it keeps giving me recipes for pickle relish. I'm like, well, what are you looking for? She's like, not recipes. I'm like, well, tell it you're not looking for recipes. But you're right. Like the specificity, increase humor by 20% or cut mm-hmm. this paragraph in half by 50%. Giving it percentages. I always tell people like machines don't know. Turn the lights down a little bit. Well, a little bit is subjective and turning the lights down is subjective as well. So being able to say, turn it down 50%, 40%, you have more control to be able to communicate what it is you're wanting the machine to do.
Absolutely. And another really beneficial use case for me, again, working at a Fortune 50 tech company, I had an IT team. I was working with DevOps developers. I'm not a developer. I can do admin. I can do the very basic stuff, but coding is not something that I have ever done before, but I have now. I have coded on my website. I have fixed my own IT issues because when I have something on my computer that I don't know how to take care of, I ask Copilot or ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever your, you know, AI tool of choice is, But again, if you don't get the answer that you're looking for in the first one, go to another one. Try mm-hmm. a different one. Mm-hmm. Because if you kind of rotate through, you'll figure out which ones are really great at images, which ones are really great at giving you, you know, those marketing tools, and what fits with your personality. They all have a very like kind of specific signature. Mm-hmm. And when I create imagery, I started creating imagery on a couple of things. The one that I really loved was Copilot Designer. Mm-hmm. But if that's not your favorite, there's lots of different ones out there. And think totally. About it this way too, is that, you know, especially with ChatGPT and Copilot, when you're asking it questions and you're wanting a text response back mm-hmm. with information, it is scouring the internet. It would take you so much time to click on the multiple different, you know, spaces on the internet to read through the articles. It's going to do it very succinctly. Ashley and I had a different conversation planned for today. And last week, as I was thinking about it, I was like, you know, I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about this experience of the last 6 months and what that has been for me. Mm-hmm. But I had a very busy week last week. It was the beginning of school for my kids. And, you know, I threw that into ChatGPT. Here are my couple of bullets, how I want to change the conversation. Give me a layout of what that would potentially look like, and give me some statistics and what I can share that would be useful in 30 minutes, an hour, whatever.
Love that.
It'll do all of that for you. Make it easy.
Make it easy. I agree. And another thing that I'm going to link in the show notes is, I don't know if I send this to you, but I have found there is a credible dashboard that is put together by several researchers and academics, but it's constantly up to date. It's benchmarks for all the latest AI models. So basically, yeah. like if GPT is ranking higher, 4.0 is ranking higher than Gemini or whatever is the latest, greatest flavor. So that's something that I like to follow, because some people ask me sometimes, why do you use X over Y? And sometimes I like to point back to that. But I think it's really about use the tool that works best for you and your needs and what you're trying to do. Like, especially if you're in a Microsoft ecosystem, use your Microsoft tools. Yeah. If you're a Google ecosystem, use yeah. Gemini. It's, you know, different flavors, same thing. But thank you for sharing all of those great resources.
And I'm curious, what's your favorite in the Apple ecosystem?
What do you mean, like AI? Like,
is there an AI tool within the Apple ecosystem that you just love?
Yes, actually, I'm glad you asked that. Thank you. Aside from Siri, I love Apple Shortcuts, which are essentially AI okay. on the back end. And I actually created a couple of shortcuts on my desktop here. I have three actually. One is start a Pomodoro timer. So that's a shortcut that I've created. And then okay. turn text into audio. So like if there are research papers that I want to listen to rather than read, that's great. And then take a photo into a GIF, because I have a cat and we all love, you know, GIFs, you name it. But yeah, I think that's something right. super simple that's automated that Apple has like literally had embedded natively into their system for years. I just didn't take the time to actually use it until recently. Yeah. But I know Apple they were going to release their AI model in October, I think, and now they're delaying it a bit. I have a feeling they'll do a really great job because of the infrastructure of privacy and data security that Apple already has inherently. And as someone, and you know, since your brother worked for Apple, we have a firsthand experience of seeing what the company does in terms of like data privacy. And seeing that on the back end, I have full confidence of having the AI models being secure and private. So I'm interested to see where that goes. I feel like they probably should have made the decision a long time ago to have AI on board so that Siri actually works. Yeah. So I'm excited to see a revitalization of Siri actually working and doing the things we want it to do.
That's awesome.
Thank you for that.
I mean, there really are so many tools.
Totally.
And it's like you said, find the ones that work for you. And the things that are going to make your life simpler. And
yes.
that fear or caution that we've always had, guess what? That's not new.
No.
I am a lover of old movies. And I have, you know, kind of in my more recent years of watching some of those older movies, it's so funny how how they treat the telephone being in the office, or the radio being in the living room, or the TV when that came. There was this, no, we are not a TV family. It's always the things. And so we need to be smart about the way that we adopt tech and make sure that we are, as you said in your TED Talk, being responsible consumers and able to, you know, discern for ourselves what is fact and what we need to go look into more. But at the same time, we should be very optimistic and curious.
Absolutely.
About how these new technologies can benefit us in ways that we haven't even imagined. I never imagined that I would, you know, put an argument that I'm having with my kid into ChatGPT and say, win this argument with an 8-year-old. Give me something to relate to. Talk to me about dinosaurs and how I can relate this thing to him. I do it.
I love that.
I use it for all kinds of things.
That is amazing.
I told you, I got to go, I got to spend some time with my kids at the beach this summer, and I asked Copilot to map out my route and what I could see along the way and some fun things that I could do with my kids on the beach that maybe I hadn't thought about. It was awesome.
Oh, I love that. And that just takes the mental energy out of the planning, which can be a lot. Yes. So you can actually focus on enjoying your time there and not have to, you know, look things up in Google Maps or Apple Maps, you name it. That's great. I love that.
Well, it's like if I did it on the internet, I'm going to go to multiple things to try to piece this all together. I got it all in less than 5 minutes.
Yes.
Just putting in a couple of prompts.
I love that.
Did it all for me. And because of the history, like I don't print anything off. I don't save anything anywhere. I don't take screenshots. The history is all there. So I just go back to my history. I'm like, okay, here we go.
I love that. And an example that I'll use that's like an everyday one that people that can use in their life is I made salad dressing with ChatGPT a couple of weeks ago because I had olive oil, lemon juice, Dijon, just like a mix of ingredients in my fridge. And I'm like, I know some of this makes a dressing, but I don't know how much and what. So I was like, ChatGPT, I use the voice one a lot because I like doing hands-free. Yes. I'm like, hey, I have these ingredients in my fridge and I want to make a salad dressing that's refreshing and good for romaine lettuce. Let me know what it is. And it was like really, really good. So I'm glad that you were reminding people that AI isn't just good for professional work settings. Well, yes, it can help us multiply our efforts. It's also good in your just personal everyday life.
Yeah. No, it's so much fun. And I'm teaching my kids how to use those resources as well. You know, when they come and ask me about different things, sometimes it's let's ask the device, but sometimes it's let's go have a conversation with ChatGPT or Copilot and see what that looks like responsibly. We're not trying to cheat any systems.
Yeah.
We're trying to, just like we did with the internet. The books were great. The internet is faster.
Yep.
The internet is great. AI is faster.
Yep. I love that you're practicing like intentional parenting by looking at technology as a collaborative tool rather than an enemy, right? It's about having like, how do we use this to help us understand things? So I love that. And I wanted to ask you like your thoughts as a parent with AI, of your thoughts on like privacy and ethics. And it sounds like you really have a healthy relationship with how you use it with your children.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously have to invest in security in your home. You know, having worked for a tech company, I have some cybersecurity at home. But if you aren't doing that, a lot of the internet spaces, like they have built-in security. You want to make sure that there's so much AI out there. Go to the ones that are reputable, that if it's asking you to sign in with anything more than just your email, if it's needing like more information, if it's needing a credit card, double check those, because 90% of what I use is completely free.
Yeah.
You know, and then what it does is that there is an upcharge, like with Gamma, I get 10 free slides. And then if I want more slides with that one prompt, I can pay something.
Yeah.
I don't do that. Like, I don't want to be paying for a bunch of AI subscriptions. So just be very mindful about where you're going, what you're using, what you're consuming. And then also know that with education, and I think that, you know, right now education is being cautious, mm-hmm. saying like, hey, you know, don't use AI on things. Well, just like they told us, you're never going to be anywhere that, you know, you have a calculator. Well, guess what? Yeah, actually, I do have a calculator all the time if I want one. I have the library and the world at my fingertips if I want one. I do think that we will see in education as it goes along that they will kind of find the areas where AI is okay. And, you know, the example for me, 100% of the content on my website has some AI component. It is still very authentically me. I am using the AI as an editor. I'm using the AI to give me writing prompts and ideas. It's not going to give me the blog from start to finish. It's not going to give me the history paper if I'm a student from start to finish that's going to be okay, because there are words like spearhead. I've never actually used that word anywhere in my life, but ChatGPT gives it for every single answer. So, you know, using it where it is ethical, mm-hmm. and also that you are being a conscious consumer of it, doing your research about what you're going to use before you're using it. Those are the things that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are a ton of other things I could be doing, but I feel confident in what I've started with, the baseline.
That's great. I love that. And you're right. There's so many free tools out there that you really do not need to pay for. It'll do what you need it to do. Yes, there are going to be limitations because it's free. Maybe the logo is the watermark or whatever is on there. Speaking of, mm-hmm. just to give you I had a moment the other day where I was like, I need to write out all the things that I use. It's like, what is my stack that I have morphed into for business? And here it is: ChatGPT, Otter AI, Grammarly, Google Keep, Adobe Acrobat Sign, which is the whole Adobe suite, FreshBooks for my accounting, Stripe to take payments, Squarespace for my website, Canva, Adobe Express, WiseStamp, Riverside, which is what we're using now. And that's just like a small fraction. It doesn't include like any of the domains that I have that I keep up with. But these things add up really quickly. So whenever you can find the tools that are baked within your system, do it. That's why I use Google Keep as like my own project management tool. I tried using ClickUp. It just wasn't for me. It looks awesome. It's very shiny. It's very pretty. And it might work for some larger corporations, but not for me. And it's also $39 a month. So if I can use something like Google Keep that's built into my Google Suite subscription, why not? You don't mm-hmm. have to reinvent the wheel. But I love that you found that tech stack that works for you. And hopefully people out there that are listening can be inspired to find what works for them and take these pieces of information that you've shared with us and these good bits of advice on how to be an informed consumer, how to make those decisions yourself, and really just, you know, be authentically present and live this human experience while augmenting certain aspects of the human experience with AI. Because think smarter, not harder, for real.
Right. I mean, we had very little trouble going from dumb phones to smartphones, right? Yep. Because it was so beneficial and it was so clear that it was beneficial to us from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. That's honestly because I'm in the space and because my role for the last decade has been transformation and helping people adopt new tech. That's how I've looked at all of these things from the very beginning is mm-hmm. I don't care what they say they can do. What can they do for me?
Yeah, for real.
How is it going to make my life better? And how is it going to help me accomplish what I want?
Yep. Agreed. And I always want to tell people to be cautious because right now, I mean, AI, the term itself, it's really more of a marketing term now than it is like the actual descriptive. So just be cautious. Misty, this has been an amazing conversation, and I feel like we could talk for hours, and I love that we've spanned talking about your journey, the different hats that you wear, some of your perspectives of what it's like to be in the tech industry for a long time and develop those skill sets, and then what it's like to be laid off and that type of experience, not just what happens in the moment, but the grief level, the mental health, that I think is important for people to remember that, you know, life goes on beyond being laid off. There's much more to life than your job title. And it makes me realize, like, going back, and now that I'm my own business owner, I asked myself, why did I pull up all those late nights and all-nighters and going above and beyond for someone else and someone else's company? That at the end of the day, I'm just a number. And I'm like, wow, so many people do that to themselves. And we just find ourselves in these weird, I don't want to say abusive patterns, but abusive patterns of just not sleeping, going above and beyond for someone else because we want
hustle
to perform.
Culture.
Yeah, it really is. It truly is. And being on the outside, seeing it and getting it provides a new, fresh perspective. So thank you so much for sharing your authentic journey and sharing just, you know, really great advice for people who are listening, Misty.
I am so, so happy that I got this opportunity, Ashley. It has been just such fun.
And I'm really excited about your future, and would also like to make sure that people who are listening can follow along on your journey and see what happens next. So where can listeners find you, Misty?
So my website is the best place, missteams365.com. So that's MissTeams365.
Yes.
365.com. And that's a play off my name, Miss G. So
love that.
Miss 65 at Miss Teams 365. I have YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all the things, LinkedIn. So at Miss Teams 365, if you do the social, but we'll for sure link the job seeker resources. And I'm going to continue to add to that job seeker resource page as awesome. I find new tools and things. Because, like I said, I'm part of a big community of people who are sharing tips and tricks that were helpful for them.
Good.
Of how they were able to find different roles. So I'll continue Wonderful. To build out.
I will link that, all of that in the show notes. That way, if people are listening. But also, you have a newsletter, don't you?
I do, and that's on the website. So just at Miss Teams 365.
Yeah, I love there. It. I got your first newsletter in my inbox. I loved it.
Thank you.
It had really good content. So it's definitely worth the space in your inbox. So go sign up for her newsletter if you get a chance, and give Misty a follow on all the platforms, because that's where it matters. It's literally free to follow someone. It's free to leave a review, and these things mean a lot. So, Misty, you're amazing. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for sharing. And always like to ask people before they leave, what is one piece of advice that you would go back and give yourself if you could go back like 20 years?
Oh, you know, it's always the same bit of advice, and it is, don't apologize for something that you are great at. My old boss used to tell me, like, you don't have to explain. You don't have to apologize. If you're great, show up and be great. Don't mm-hmm. take up less space. And I think as women, especially as women in tech, we do that sometimes. We take less space. So if mm-hmm. you know, like, this is my thing. I love helping people learn how to adopt new tech to improve their lives. And guess what? It helps the business too, but it's really about the humanity meeting innovation and how that is going to be beneficial. I'm not going to apologize for helping people do those things and for being excited about it. So that's what I would say is be you. You are needed in the world.
Wow. Yes. Mic drop. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Thank you, Misty, because it's a great reminder. Never apologize for having high standards, or never apologize for being good at what you do, or having, you know, being a excellence. You're right. You're so right. Great reminder. And that's a really good note to end on. So thank you so much. And I look forward to having you on the show again. And we can chat about, you know, what the next 6 months looked like after this conversation. And now it'll be archived on the internet. So you can go back and listen to it and be like, wow, so much has changed.
Well, and, you know, I have to thank you as well, because you really inspired me. You, after our chat, you told me that I should start a blog, and I did. And that was partly because of your encouragement. And also, you've already done the TED Talk, and that is a goal for me. Woo! I want to do one eventually. Yes. So you are an inspiration on this side as well. So thank you, Ashley. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Misty. That means so much to me. And I will see you on that stage next year. And
yeah, if you haven't listened to Ashley's TED Talk, go and listen. It's very good.
You're so kind. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I look forward to our next conversation, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, Misty. Thank you.
I will. You too. Bye, girl.
Bye. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Coffee and Code. Your support means everything, so be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more insights, updates, and behind-the-scenes content. Stay curious, stay informed. Until next time, stay hydrated, and do something nice for someone.